Ready? I have personally had the marvelous privilege to be a sola scriptura, scriptures alone, student of the Holy Bible for nearly 50 years. During these years, I have been blessed to attend and participate in nearly 20,000 formal Bible-based services and over 20,000 hours of Holy Ghost instruction. I have participated in numerous doctrinal and academic debates, as well as 800-plus God-said-man-said subjects defending and certifying the supernatural inerrancy of the majority text authorized King James Version of the Bible. I have heard and considered the rancorous challenges of the atheist and evolutionist. I have heard the soft-spoken rhetoric of Satan's purported biblical scholars subtly undermining the absolutes of God's Word. I, like all, have endured the relentless onslaught of carnal gradualism. Through it all, I have learned to trust in the marvelous accuracy of God's holy book, the very foundation of life, even eternal life and purpose. By the grace of God, I, as well as countless others before me, have discovered the glorious accuracy of Psalms 19:7-11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Have you been born again? Literally born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God? Will today be the day you begin your personal journey? Will today be the day you see the light? Do it now while you still have time. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis 5:5, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. God said, Job 40:15-19, behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. God said, Job 41:14-21, 25-31, and 33. Canst thou dry out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. Upon earth there is not his like who is made without fear. God said, Isaiah 14:29, rejoice not thou, whole Palestinia, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. God said, Jeremiah 51:34, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. Man said, the Bible is a book of incredible fairy tales, and only the simple embrace it. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 809 that will once again certify the pure inerrancy of God's holy word. Every one of these powerful features is archived here in text and streaming audio for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ and as bait for the fishers of men. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you with every good and perfect gift. Dinosaurs, those terrible lizards, lived contemporaneously with man and exist in the annals of history. The Earth and its universe are just over 6,000 years of age. Academia's insistence that the fossils of dinosaurs, various sea monsters, and others are millions, even hundreds of millions of years old is a clear demonstration of what grows up when unbelief is planted. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 calls it the deceivableness of unrighteousness. In the following pages, you will find foundational excerpts from various God Said, Man Said features and the new information to consider. God Said, Man Said, historians in 911 years. This feature deals with the historian's record concerning the phenomenal lifespan of ancient man. It also demonstrates the catastrophic results when truth is rejected for hypothesis. The following paragraph is found in the writings of Josephus. Now, when Noah had lived 350 years after the flood, and that all that time happily, he died having the number of 950 years. But let no one, upon comparing the lives of the ancients with our lives and with the few years which we now live, think that what we have said of them is false, or make the shortness of our lives at present an argument that neither did they attain to so long a duration of life. For those ancients were beloved of God and lately made by God himself, and because their food was then fitter for the prolongation of life, might well live so great a number of years. And besides, God afforded them a longer time of life on account of their virtue and the good use they made of it, and astronomical and geometrical discoveries which would not have afforded the time of foretelling the periods of the stars unless they had lived 600 years, for the great year is completed in that interval. Now I have for witnesses to what I have said all those that have written antiquities, both among the Greeks and barbarians. For even Manetho, who wrote the Egyptian history, and Berosus, who collected the Chaldean monuments, and Mochus, and Hestius, and besides these, Hieronymus the Egyptian, and those who composed the Phoenician history, agree to what I here say. Hesiod also, and Hecataeus, and Hellenicus, and Acusulus, and besides, Ephorus and Nicholas relate that the ancients lived 1,000 years. But as to these matters, let everyone look upon them as he thinks fit. End of quote. Watch the deceivableness of unrighteousness at work and how childlike faith defeats it. If men lived an average pre-flood life of 911 years, or basically 13 times longer than we do today, and they certainly did, then much of the world's knowledge that rejects this biblical record would have a very distorted view of reality, and it certainly does. Just 2 points will be briefly discussed to illustrate. One, Neanderthal man. The Neanderthal man is showcased by Darwinian scientists as an evolutionary progression to today's modern man. The following excerpt is from the God Said, Man Said feature, Adam Was to Live Forever. Tremendously long pre-flood lifespans answer many questions. Consider Neanderthal man, one of the evolutionists' supposed links between ape and man. Because pseudoscience has rejected the Bible and the creation model, the following truth has escaped the followers of this science. A.L. Gillian writes in his book Body by Design the following. Dr. Jack Couzeau, a research orthodontist for over 30 years in his book Buried Alive, explains Neanderthal man's skeletons. His studies show that the human head does not stop growing as we age. contrasting the measurements of people's heads, when they were 19, in their late 40s, and some at age 80, he discovered that the head changed in the following manner. 1. The brow ridge came forward. 2. The jaw came forward. 3. The nose got bigger. 4. The chin came forward. 5. The cheeks came forward and flattened out. 6. The teeth came forward. 7. The back of the head started to point out. Think of a baby's soft head. It is fashioned with cartilage as well as bone. Our skull gradually changes over time from fetus to infant to adolescent to adult. This has been known for some time. But more recently, Dr. Kuzo has found that our skull continues to change in our old age, and assuming man could live to 150, 200, 300, or even 500 years of age, this pattern of change would produce an individual that looked remarkably like Neanderthal man. End of quote. Number 2. Dinosaurs. Man living 13 times longer before the flood of Noah suggests that all of God's creatures would have enjoyed a similar benefit. Consider reptiles, which of course include lizards, that never stop growing. An old snake is a big snake. Reptiles never stop growing. Take into consideration that prior to the flood, under God's perfect water canopy, which blocked out ultraviolet killer rays from the sun, there was an abundance of perfect air, water, and food. Now consider the Chinese iguana that can reach a length of 12 feet. If that terrible lizard would live 13 times longer, and if it grew in equal proportion, it would be 156 feet long and potentially several stories tall. The word dinosaur, which was coined in the 1800s, simply means terrible lizard. Evolution's poster child, the dinosaur, is just a giant reptile. When God's word is rejected, foolishness is the result. Yes, man lived to nearly 1,000 years of age in the days of old, hence Neanderthals, dinosaurs, and the like. The Bible declares it so, and the record says yes. The Bible is the solid truth. Stand on it. God said, man said, fire-breathing dragons and fiery flying serpents. In a research book titled After the Flood, author William Cooper cites some very interesting information. The first excerpt deals with flying reptiles, which science claims were not contemporary to man. It reads, "The last monster to be destroyed by Beowulf, and from which encounter Beowulf also died in the year AD 583, was a flying reptile which lived on a promontory overlooking the sea at Horsness on the southern coast of Sweden. Now the Saxons, and presumably the Danes, knew flying reptiles in general as Liftflauga, air flyers. But this particular species of flying reptile, the specimen from Horsness, was known to them as Widflauga, literally a wide or far-ranging flyer, and the description that they have left us fits that of a giant pteranodon. Interestingly, the Saxons also describe this creature as Lygdraka, or fire dragon, and he is described as 50 feet in length, or perhaps wingspan, and about 300 years of age. Moreover, and of particular interest to us, the name Widflauga would have distinguished this particular species of flying reptile from another similar species, which was capable of making only short flights. Such a creature is portrayed in a shield boss from the Sutton Hoo burial, which shows a flying dragon with its wings folded along its sides. Its long, tooth-filled jaws are readily seen, and the shield boss can be seen to this day in its showcase at the British Museum. Modern paleontologists working from fossilized remains have named such a creature Pterodactyl. In a 1973 statistical account of Scotland, a sober government report reads, "In the end of November and beginning of December last, many of the country people observed dragons appearing in the north and flying rapidly towards the east, from which they concluded, and their conjectures were right, that boisterous weather would follow. Flying reptiles have been reported as recently as the early 1900s," end of quote. Again from William Cooper's book. Likewise, the Völuspá tells of a certain monster which the early Vikings called a Nithhogger, its name Corpse Terror, revealing the fact that it lived off carrion. Saxo Grammaticus, in his Gesten de Norm, tells of the Danish king Frotho's fight with a giant reptile, and it is in the advice given by a local to the king and recorded by Saxo that the monster is described in great detail. It was, he says, a serpent, wreathed in coils, doubled in many a fold, and with a tail drawn out and winding whorls, shaking his manifold spirals and shedding venom, his saliva, burns up what it bespatters. Yet, he tells the king in words that were doubtless meant to encourage rather than dismay, remember to keep the dauntless temper of thy mind, nor let the point of the jagged tooth trouble thee, nor the starkness of the beast, nor the venom. There is a place under his lowest belly whither thou mayest plunge the blade. End of quote. Note that this giant reptile spits saliva that burns up what it hits. Author John Whitcomb, in his book The World That Perished, states, evolutionary scientists believe that dinosaurs became extinct many millions of years before men appeared on the earth. But the Bible indicates that men and dinosaurs have lived contemporaneously. And then again, Whitcomb, referring to articles in National Geographic, writes, scientific discovery confirms biblical revelation at this point. If we understand dinosaur in its original meaning of terrifying lizard, then dinosaurs are not yet extinct. About 1,000 huge dragon lizards still survive on the small Indonesian island of Komodo. Only about 500 years ago, the Epiornis, a dinosaur bird nearly 10 feet tall and weighing half a ton, still lived on the island of Madagascar. The time has come for a totally new perspective on dinosaurs in relation to Earth history and mankind. Dr. Henry Morse, founder of the world-renowned Institute for Creation Research, weighs in with this statement from his book, The Remarkable Record of Job. Dragons of various kinds were capable of breathing out fire, at least according to traditions from all parts of the world. Certain insects can, in effect, give out light or fire, as example the bombardier beetle and the firefly, as can various luminescent fish. Perhaps more to the point, dinosaur fossils have been excavated that show a strange protuberance with internal cavity on top of the head. It is conceivable that this could have served as a sort of mixing chamber for combustible gases that would ignite when exhaled into the outside oxygen. In any case, it seems unlikely that the ubiquitous tales of fire-breathing dragons in ancient times, coming as they do from all parts of the world, could have come into existence without a strong factual basis. Furthermore, the Bible often mentions dragons just as it mentions unicorns, always in such a way as to show that the writers believe that they were real animals. End of quotes. God said, man said, dragons, dinosaurs, and the devil. We found the following paragraph in Derek Isaac's book, Dragons or Dinosaurs. The statement was made by Samuel Hubbard, honorary curator of archaeology of the Oakland Museum. He and C.W. Gilmore, the curator of paleontology at the United States National Museum, and others were on an expedition to the Havasupa Canyon to study pictographs, petroglyphs, and artifacts left behind by ancient American Indians. Hubbard said the following. The fact that some prehistoric man made a pictograph of a dinosaur on the walls of this canyon upsets completely all of our theories regarding the antiquity of man. Facts are stubborn and immutable things. If theories do not square with the facts, then the theories must change. The facts remain. End of quote. Isaac's report records of ancient historians. Several excerpts follow. Josephus by no means stands alone as a respected historian recording stories of flying reptiles, more specifically those called dragons. In fact, other historians gave even more detail. A Roman historian named Pliny the Elder wrote an encyclopedic work titled Natural History, which was relied upon for scientific matters up to the Middle Ages. In it, he spoke freely of dragons. Listen to some of this. It is India that produces the largest elephant as well as the dragon, who is perpetually at war with the elephant and is itself of so enormous a size as to envelop the elephant with its folds and encircle them in its coils. The contest is equally fatal to both. The finale of the fight is visually dramatic. The struggle leaves both combatants dead. Pliny left his readers with a definitive, logical ending to an encounter between two powerful creatures. But this is not an anomaly for Pliny. Multiple times he spoke freely of the dragon. Here is another of his extraordinary accounts. "It lies, therefore, coiled up and concealed in the rivers in wait for the elephants when they come to drink, upon which it darts out, fastens itself around the trunk, and then fixes its teeth behind the ear, that being the only place which the elephant cannot protect with the trunk." End of quote. God said, man said, dragons swallow up evolution. The word dinosaur was first coined by Sir Richard Owen in 1841. The word means terrible lizard. Prior to that, these creatures were known in the scriptures and in the general public by names like dragon, leviathan, behemoth, fiery flying serpents, cockatrice, and more. The evolutionist must stand and challenge the biblical idea that man and dinosaur lived contemporaneously, because if they did, their theory crumbles. The Darwinists have lifted their icon, the dinosaur, up so high that if it is discredited, no manner of tall grass can cover their nakedness. When evolutionist Albert Engels was confronted with this concept, he made the following statement in Scientific American. "If man, or even his ape ancestor, or even that ape ancestor's early mammalian ancestor existed as far back as the Carboniferous period in any shape, then the whole science of geology is so completely wrong that all the geologists will resign their jobs and take up truck driving." In defense of the honorable and necessary trade of transportation by truck drivers, we think Engels and his ilk, who do not know where they came from, why they are here, and where they are going, are not quite up to the task. On this website, we have referred to the research of Derek Isaacs, published in his book Dragons or Dinosaurs. Additional excerpts from Isaacs' work follow. In 1973, World Book Encyclopedia had this to say: "The dragons of legend are strangely like actual creatures that have lived in the past. They are much like the great reptiles, dinosaurs, which inhabited the earth long before man is supposed to have appeared on earth." Notable knowledge reservoirs were catching the amazing phenomenon. Dragon legends are everywhere, and they mimic dinosaurs. Why is it that such a candid conclusion that dragons are strikingly similar to dinosaurs was seemingly edited out of subsequent editions of the World Book Encyclopedia? Is it because dragon legends stopped sounding like dinosaurs? No. Louis Jacobs, author and former president of the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology, stated the implications of this powerful question of man and dinosaur coexistence. "Such an association would dispel an earth with vast antiquity. The entire history of creation, including the day of rest, could be accommodated in the seven biblical days of the Genesis myth. Evolution would be vanquished." This threat to evolution, identified by World Book, did not fall idly by without an attempt to rectify this thorn in the side. This kind of irritant, even amongst secular sources, required a retort. It demanded a response. To answer that call, none other than Carl Sagan, one of the most renowned and famous atheist evolutionary thinkers, answered the call to arms with his book, The Dragons of Eden. Sagan knew that this dragon phenomenon, if it was left unaddressed, would spell disaster for the worldwide view on Darwin's theory of origins. In a nutshell, Sagan argued that the worldwide phenomena of dragon accounts could be explained by humanity having reincarnated memories that were passed down from our pre-human ancestors who actually lived at the same time as dinosaurs. He tried to make the case that in our dreams, we view past life experiences of our pre-human ancestors. These memories are supposedly inherited from our pre-human ancestors before they mutated into humans. Let's walk through his idea in his own words, starting with his simple admission to the obvious. The pervasiveness of dragon myths in the folk legends of many cultures is probably no accident. He then acknowledged a couple of sentences later that it is a worldwide phenomenon. To answer this in an evolutionary way, Sagan had to offer an explanation as to why ancient people had vivid imagery of what dinosaurs looked like, acted like, ate, and even how many of them reproduced without anyone ever seeing the creatures with their own actual eyes. This is because, according to evolutionary theory, man should never have seen a real living dinosaur. We are supposed to be separated by 65 million years of time and space. End of quote. Isaacs continues, a series of 12 animal names are used to denote a sequence in the Chinese calendar. In order, their names are rat, ox, tiger, hare, dragon, snake, horse, sheep, monkey, fowl, dog, and pig. Notice that amongst animals that are familiar to people around the world lies the dragon, a creature that has been thought to be only a myth. Yet one of the oldest societies in the world has used dragon on a cultural icon, and for centuries, the Chinese have included the dragon in a list of common animals like the sheep, rabbit, and dog. End of quote. The following powerful excerpts have been lifted from Carl Wieland's book, Dragons of the Deep. It is true that so far no one has found the fossil of a person together with the fossil of a mosasaur. Does that mean that mosasaurs lived millions of years ago before there were people? Hardly. The fish called coelacanth are known for their fossils, which are found in the same layers as dinosaurs, mosasaurs, and other reptiles. No human or whale fossil has been found in the same rocks together with coelacanths. Yet coelacanths definitely live with humans and whales. How do we know? Because several populations of coelacanths have been found to be living today on the same earth as people, whales, and many other creatures that we never find with them in the fossil record, end of quote. Mr. Wieland displays on the pages of his book the 50-foot-long, 40-ton sea monster Shonosaurus. The name means Shoshone Mountain Reptile. Wieland continues, Shonosaurus was adopted as the state fossil of Nevada, the state in which the fossils from which it was first described were found. The location in which Shonosaurus fossils came to light is interesting, too. The Shoshone Mountains of Nevada are in the middle of a desert. Yet 36 Shonosauruses found together at an altitude of over 7,000 feet. Some have suggested that this unusual grouping could have been from a whole school of these massive reptiles beaching themselves like some whales have been known to do. The problem with this explanation is that we know that such beached whales do not go on to form preserved fossil skeletons. Exposed on a beach, even their skeletons would just fall apart unless they were catastrophically buried. Imagine what sort of catastrophe it would take to suddenly bury and cover 36 school bus-sized creatures. Another evidence of rapid burial and massive water action is the fact that the 36 Shonosaurs were not found in haphazard directions, but all seemed to be more or less lined up in a north-south direction. This suggests that powerful water currents lined them up when they were washed into place by the catastrophe that preserved them. Since the Genesis flood covered the whole earth, it's no surprise that we find sea creatures in inlet regions too, including the tops of high mountains, end of quote. On page 44, you'll find Sarcosuchus that grew up to 40 feet in length, weighing in at 8 tons. A fossilized Sarcosuchus was found in 1964, where? In the Sahara Desert. The more fossils, the vast, vast majority of them buried by water action, testify of Noah's flood. Remember that prior to the flood, men, and by extension everything else, lived 13 times longer. In 1843, the fossils of Cretoxyrhina were discovered in the U.S. This creature grew to lengths of up to 25 feet and weighed as much as 3 tons. Wieland writes, like all extinct sharks with their skeletons of cartilage instead of bone, this brute did not leave many fossils behind other than its teeth. In the late 1800s, however, some remarkably complete specimens were found, suggesting that they had been rapidly buried. One rare complete specimen containing 150 teeth was clearly flattened by the weight of the sediment that buried it, end of quote. Have you ever walked in the woods and wondered, Where are all the dead carcasses of deer, bear, squirrels, and birds? God's janitorial staff makes short order of them. Other creatures quickly come and dine, and the earth itself swallows them up, Carl Whelan writes. The evidence of these violent attacks, and particularly the scavenging afterward, reminds us that dead creatures don't lie on the seafloor quietly waiting to be buried by slow, gentle accumulation of sediments over millions of years. They would be sliced, diced, and ripped apart long before then. Also, there are many types of small organisms that start to decompose any bone that lies on the ocean floor. This is the reason why documentaries of the bottom of the ocean don't show hundreds of partially buried skeletons in the process of getting more fully buried over further eons of time. It simply doesn't happen that way. Dead things on the bottom of the sea just don't stay intact and last for long. Even for skeletons to be preserved at all, they must be buried fairly soon, not hang around for millions of years. The specimen discussed above suggests that it was attacked, then scavenged. Then at some point soon after this, days or weeks later, certainly not thousands of years, let alone millions, the scavenging process was interrupted because it was rapidly buried under sediment, end of quotes. The more you look, the more you find. Dinosaurs, those terrible lizards, lived a very old years prior to the global flood. Testimonials remain after the flood, and they are the dragons, the fiery flying serpents, the behemoths, the leviathans, and the cockatrices of the Bible. God's words concerning this 6,000-year-old earth and its universe are true and righteous altogether, a place to build a life that will last forever. God said, Genesis 5:5, "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." God said, Job chapter 40, 15 through 19, "Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him." God said, Job 41, verse 1, 14 through 15, 18 through 21, and 33. "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear." God said, Isaiah 14, 29, "Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent." God said, Jeremiah 51, 34, "Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out." Man said, "The Bible is a book of incredible fairy tales, and only the simple embrace it." Now you have the record.